Don, you're a writer yourself. I think you're familiar with our prisons, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, what do you think of this, from your knowledge of it?
Well, I think the Soledad case represents a continuum of the ugly nature of frame-ups that have happened particularly to black people during my lifetime, and I'm 56 years old. I can remember the Scottsboro case, the Trenton Six. I can remember endless cases of blacks who have gone to prison, first on frame-ups, and then after being in prison, having had their sentences escalated to the point where they've taken their lives. And I view the Soledad case as one in this whole series. As a matter of fact, I have a particular interest in this Soledad case because George Jackson is a bright young black man, went to prison at a time when the whole country was being agitated by young people for civil rights, particularly the heroic young black students in the South. And when he sought to do inside the prison what the young students were doing outside the prison, he became, in the eyes of the prison authorities, a troublemaker and was put on their list to have him isolated and to ultimately do away with him. And based upon this, you see, we find that many of the finest sons of the black community have been sentenced to prison, and certainly those of us who have been observers, at least, of this picture, have to do whatever we can to reverse this, not only in the interests of the black young people who were there, but in the interests of safeguarding whatever remains of democracy in the country.
Angela, getting back to you, now, you have a special interest here, a special concern, not so much an interest. How do you look at this?
Well, I think that it's very important for every black person in this city and the state to see the necessity to struggle for the release of the Soledad brothers, because what has happened to them could happen to any one of us who are out here talking about fighting for freedom. The three brothers were obviously framed up because of their political activities. I see a lot of people have talked about supporting me at UCLA, supporting my right to teach, that I ought to be able to teach regardless of whatever political opinions or affiliations I might have. And then I say to them, well, if you are for freedom of speech, academic freedom, and all of those notions that people talk about, then you ought to realize that the most important thing you can do now is struggle behind the brothers and sisters who are being denied their right to live because of their political beliefs, their political affiliations, their political activities. And a whole lot of people won't listen to this. A lot of, you know, professors who will sit up and say, although I don't agree with you, I'll defend your right to say what you have to say, and I'll defend your right to go out and organize. When it comes to defending Bobby Seale, when it comes to defending the Soledad brothers, they are silent. And unless people begin to realize that what is happening now is that a repressive apparatus is beginning to set a precedent in terms of new ways of dealing with this revolutionary struggle. And we are beginning to call that legal lynching, using the courts and the prisons as the primary instruments in trying to put down a struggle. Unless they realize that, they are setting themselves up for the very, very same thing. Because if they succeed in sending Bobby to the electric chair and the Soledad brothers to the gas chamber, then that gives them, you know, the right to, you know, move on everybody in that way. But see, we aren't going to allow that to happen. You know, no matter what they do, we're going to we're going to make sure that the Soledad brothers are released, sealed.
Now, this new charge against the Soledad brothers happened while in prison, didn't it?
Yes.
What is the charge they're charged with this time?
Well, they're charged with murder. And see, it's important to realize the facts in the case because the facts themselves reveal exactly what's going down. The first incident occurred when the inmates of the maximum security group in Soledad Prison, who had been kept strictly segregated along racial lines, and anybody who knew anything about Soledad knew that there was a long history of racial conflict, racial tension that was provoked and perpetuated by the prison authorities so that the brothers did not get together and begin to talk about a united struggle against their oppression. So it seems very strange that, given this history of racial conflict, one day the prison authorities decided to let all of the inmates out onto a recreation yard, a newly built recreation yard, with not one guard with them. Not one guard with them. Anybody who knew anything about that situation knew that some kind of argument, some kind of scuffle would occur, and it did. So what happens? They use this as an excuse then, that is the guard sitting 30 feet above the yard in a gun tower, uses that as an excuse to kill three black men who also were known for their political activities in Soledad Prison. Now, just because an argument or a scuffle breaks out doesn't mean that you have to use that as an excuse to murder people. They didn't fire a warning shot, there was no alarm, there was no attempt to deal with that situation. And it's important, too, to realize that one of those brothers who was killed had recently told his lawyer that he knew that they were out to get him and that he probably wouldn't be alive very much longer. So that what happened was after these three men were killed on the recreation yard, the grand jury, in investigating the situation, hands down a verdict of justifiable homicide. And all the black men in Soledad Prison knew that their brothers had been murdered, and they were angry. And I think anybody would have been angry who had heard that verdict of justifiable homicide when it was clear that those three black men were shot by this guard without, I mean, they were all completely defenseless. No arms, nobody was trying to escape. So that as a result of that verdict, an uproar broke out in the prison. A guard was killed. Nobody knows who killed the guard. He was beaten to death and thrown over the third tier. They kept all of the men involved in both incidents. This was in a completely different section of the prison, by the way, where the white prison guard was killed. And that eventually what they did was they pointed to George, John, and Fleeta, singled them out. They were also doing the same kind of political work that those other three brothers were. And the inmates inside the prison knew exactly what was going on. What is, I think, evidence of the kind of work that they had been doing is the fact that those brothers have raised $700 within the prison for the defense of the Soledad brothers. And you know how much it takes to raise $700 in a prison where you don't get 3 cents to 10 cents an hour for working. Yes, I think that it should be obvious to anyone who just looks at the facts that they're attempting to politically persecute the first was political assassination, and now they're going to try to use the courts to politically assassinate the three Soledad brothers.
You know, when you speak of politics going on inside of a prison, what kind of politics are we possibly talking about here? Is it racial politics?
Well, see, one of the things that the brothers have been trying to do was to break down all of that racial conflict that's perpetuated by the prison authorities. And we've gotten, you know, messages from some of the, you know, inmates in Soledad, and they say that the guards very often will give a white inmate a weapon, a zip gun, a knife, or something like that, tell him to start something with a black inmate and use that as an excuse to get that black inmate and put him in the hole, beat him up, kill him. There are other incidents where brothers have been killed at Soledad but just haven't happened to come to the eye of the public. Hmm. And one of the things that George did, for which he spent 2.5 years in solitary in the hole, is that he tried to protest the segregated conditions in the television room. And so I think all of these things point to the fact that what they're doing in the prisons is they're trying to create disunity. They allow the white inmates to organize their right-wing, you know, fascist organizations, which are stimulated directly by the prison authorities, and they use them against the black prisoners. One of the things they're doing now is that they let these white fascists come up and intimidate and harass the three brothers. They're in these cells alone, and they allow them to march by, throw things into the cell, call them all kinds of names, and just attempt to reduce them to beings less than human.
What you're saying here, the prisons are segregated by race, right? The black inmates are in some cells and whites in others. That's correct.
This is what the prison authorities have done. They want to use every means they can to repress and oppress, you know, the prisoners.
Could I add a point?
Go right ahead.
If I may. Because I think the time factor is very important, and which helps points up the significance of the Soledad case. See, during the 60s, when blacks were demonstrating, marching, protesting, they were able to make some dent on some of the institutions in society. Some minor breakthroughs were accomplished. Well, one of the institutions in society that never was touched by this were the prison institutions. Meanwhile, you had this massive increase of the prison population from among blacks and Chicanos and other minority groups. However, there were no corresponding alterations made in the supervision of these prisons. The personnel who tend to rule and to shape the policies of these prisons remain all white, and at the same time, with this new influx from minority groups who in some instances carried with them the whole spirit of change that was taking place outside, they sought to repress by terror, by intimidation, and by actual murder. And I think that it's in this context we have to see the special significance of the Soledad case.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think it's important to point out when we try to understand what's going on in the prisons. Look, George Jackson was busted for a second-degree robbery, and it doesn't even matter that he didn't even commit that robbery. Second-degree robbery, and usually you get about 2 years for that. I think it was for taking a very, very small amount of money from the gas station that somebody else he knew did. Now look at all of these white executives who embezzle millions of dollars. And what do they get? What do they get? A suspended sentence, usually. They get out on, but they get, when you talk about bail, they get out on their own signature. Is that our brothers who are being busted for these robbery charges, they are not criminals. They are not criminals. Most of the time, they are doing nothing more than trying to satisfy basic human needs, because we have been forced, we have been prevented, rather, from satisfying those needs in the normal channels, so that we have to take it upon ourselves to liberate what we need in order to survive. So we have to stop calling our brothers and sisters who are in the prisons today criminals. What they are is that they are rebels, rebels against an oppressive, repressive fascist society. There are, in this country, there is rather a small minority of men who have been acting against humanity, who have been killing, murdering, exploiting, oppressing those men, those capitalists who are able to generate profit, monetary profit, every day by forcing the majority, the masses of these people in this country to use their labor to create products, the benefits of which then go to the ones who don't do anything at all. And see, those are the people who are the criminals in this society. We call those people the criminals, and we say that we are going to seize power and we are going to mete out to them the punishment which they deserve. And that punishment, if given the nature of their crime, is a punishment that is now inconceivable. But we are going to talk about, you know, seizing power and giving them the punishment that they deserve. And after the revolution, we'll probably still have some, you know, jails and prisons, but the right people are going to be in those jails and prisons. Everybody who has been to one of the hearings in that Selena's courtroom can see written all over the face of George Jackson and John Clouchet and Fleeta Drumgo a will and determination to keep on struggling, to keep on fighting. If you want to talk about George's attitude and his ability to fight, his ability to struggle, it's much stronger, much greater than the majority of the people who are out here in that minimum security. And you know, they keep those brothers chained, they have chains around their waist, under their crotch, their wrists are chained to their waist, and they have shackles on their feet whenever they're out of their cells. And you know, given that fact, we ought to see that you know, the fact that those brothers are continuing to stand up still in those chains, they refuse to bow their heads, they hold their heads up high, and every time they come into the courtroom, even though they can't get their wrists, their hands up very high, they give us the power sign and say, all power to the people. Yeah, so that ought to tell us something. That ought to tell us that if brothers can keep on fighting under those kinds of oppressive conditions, and we know that they're fighting for us, and so we see them as heroes, we see them as our warriors who have been ripped off from us and who have been incarcerated in order to stifle our struggle, we had better start standing up just as much as they can and fighting for their freedom, because to fight for their freedom is to fight for our own freedom.
Concern do black people have for black prisoners in general? Is there any real concern, unless he's related or a friend or something like this?
Well, see, one of the things is that when black people hear about what's happening in Soledad Prison, when they hear about what's happening to Bobby Seale, black people understand. You know, because there are very few black families who have not had an immediate confrontation with those pigs, and they understand what's going on. The problem is that the power structure uses every means in their power to prevent us from getting together. They have refused consistently to say anything about the Soledad brothers, in spite of all the work that has been done. They have attempted to portray the Black Panther Party as a group of criminals and thugs, and they have attempted to distort the minds of the people. They have not succeeded. The fact that they have not succeeded is exhibited by the reaction in the black community all over this country to the conspiracy against the Black Panther Party. When we are able to reach black people and tell them about what's happening in Soledad Prison, they say, right on, we want to do everything we can, because we know that what's happening to George and what's happening to John and what's happening to Fleeta, what's happening to, you know, Bobby, what has happened to Huey, and we can go all the way down the line. We know that we will be the eventual targets of that same kind of oppression. So black people understand. It's just up to those people in this country, those black people who have been able to acquire the knowledge about how we go about destroying this, to communicate that to our people, to get out and create a united struggle, and they're going to do everything, when I say they, I'm talking about the fascists. They're going to do everything they can to prevent us, but we're going to keep on struggling.
Let me give
something that's very important to point out, I think, is that they are really afraid. That's why you haven't heard anything about the Soledad Brothers, because they are afraid that when people's eyes get focused on the Soledad Brothers, they're going to focus in on these medieval prison structures, and people are going to wake up and they're going to start fighting. There has been, it appears, a conspiracy among the capitalist press to keep every single word concerning the Soledad Brothers out of the news. And I can be a witness to that, because every time somebody has interviewed me about my case at UCLA, I have always mentioned the Soledad Brothers case. And each instance that was eliminated, but I have not heard anybody say that they saw anything in the newspaper or on television about the Soledad Brothers, and I have consistently pointed to that as one of the key things that we have to struggle around. So we have to start talking about counteracting those forces. We're getting the news out to the people in spite of them, so that the people will begin to see the necessity of tearing down this whole obsolete structure that's oppressing us. Well, I see myself, first and foremost, as a revolutionary. And one of the things that...
Thank you, Angela. I wanted to ask you that because...
Against capitalism, I've committed to the absolute destruction and annihilation of every single thing that capitalism stands for.
And that stands for a lot right now. Angela, does this describe Angela Davis?